Okay, I think we'll get going. It's 10 o'clock. Welcome to this town hall forum. I'm David John. I'm president and CEO of War Memorial Hospital. After I present my side of things, I'll introduce you to Diane, who is president and CEO of Mid-Michigan Medical Center. We wanted to get an opportunity to get out within our community, excuse me, and tell you what's happening with our partnership with Mid-Michigan. I'm going to go over our process that we used and some of the benefits that are derived from War Memorial with this partnership, and then Diane will talk about Mid-Michigan Health. So as you can see on the, oops, you can't see it yet. As you can see on the slide, we started this process back in 2019, where we sent out RFPs to six health systems in Michigan, reviewed those RFPs. A couple of the systems declined to send back a proposal because they were just too far away. Then we looked at the four that were remaining. We have a lease for land with the county. The land the hospital sits on is county property. The hospital itself is not, but the land is. And in that lease, it says that we can't associate or affiliate or sell to a for-profit entity. So UP Health System, which is now a for-profit entity, was off the table because they're a for-profit facility. So then it left Munson Medical, McLaren Health System, and Mid-Michigan as the three choices. We eliminated Munson. Munson's a great health system. They do great work. They provide high quality care, but they're fairly small. And what we wanted to avoid was if we chose Munson, and then a year later Munson chose to join somebody else, we wouldn't have had any say in that decision, and we would have to go with whoever they picked. So we whittled it down to Mid-Michigan and McLaren. Our board, our medical staff, our leadership team made numerous visits to a number of hospitals within both systems to talk to leaders, talk to physicians there. And after those visits, we came back and debated for a while who was the best choice. Ultimately, in May of 2021, this year, we chose to pursue a agreement with Mid-Michigan. Now, just because we chose to pursue an agreement didn't mean it was a done deal, because there's a lot of things that can happen in that pursuit. So what we did in May was we executed a letter of intent. Then we started the due diligence process. And to give you an analogy of what that's like, okay, in May when we signed the letter of intent, we got engaged to Mid-Michigan. This process of due diligence was kind of the time between the engagement and the wedding, where you find a lot of things out about that person you're supposed to get married to. Sometimes it works out, and sometimes it doesn't. So we were bearing our souls to each other because they aren't going to come into War Memorial if we have a whole bunch of things that they don't want to take on, and we don't want to go to Mid-Michigan if there's a whole bunch of things that they do that we don't think's right for our community. But through that process, which lasted about 60 to 90 days, everything worked out pretty good. And then we got on to negotiating a definitive agreement. And that agreement is what binds Mid-Michigan and War Memorial to the terms of that agreement. We were able to sign that on October 26th after about a month and a half of negotiations, which went pretty well. And even in those negotiations, you know, when you're getting down to the hard numbers, if there was something that maybe we thought, oh boy, maybe we don't want to deal with Mid-Michigan because of how terrible negotiators they are for us, we could have still backed out until we signed the agreement. But that negotiation went fine. We went to Mid-Michigan with a number of requests that weren't in the original proposal, that they said, yep, we can do that, yep, we can do that. There wasn't anything that they didn't agree to, so we're very fortunate with that. So then and this was part of the evaluation process, our main focus is what's best for the community. It's not what's best for War Memorial, it's what's best for our community. And how do we find a partner that is gonna increase the opportunity for services to be offered here? How can we find a partner that's going to bring us additional expertise in the areas of quality, safety, and patient care? And how are we going to find a partner that really will provide services here to stop people having to travel out of town for those healthcare services? And these are all the things we looked at. Telemedicine system is important for us. It's important for everybody in healthcare now. Mid-Michigan has a robust telemedicine system, along with the association with Michigan, University of Michigan Hospital, which is called Michigan Medicine now. And that was all part of it. We want to continue our excellence in quality as well. So then why did we pick Mid-Michigan? First, it was the culture. You'll hear Diane say this. Their first thought on everything is what's best for the patient. Okay, and so that's our thought too. It always has been our thought. What's best for the patient? And when we looked at it, we said, okay, we could have found a partner who might have said, okay, because of volume, because of this, we're going to close down these services in Sault Ste. Marie and move them to a different organization. Mid-Michigan didn't say that. Mid-Michigan said, we're going to keep all your services. And in the agreement it says, for 10 years, we will keep all the services we have now. Mid-Michigan said, and we want to expand services. Because right now, Midland is 3 hours away, maybe 3 hours and 15 minutes. Petoskey's an hour and a half away. And McLaren's a good healthcare system. And when we have emergencies, more times than not, we have to, because of federal law, transfer people to Petoskey. Let's take cardiac care. Okay, if somebody needs a cardiac catheterization, we have to transfer them to Petoskey. If Mid-Michigan, when we're their partner, wants that care to be part of their system, they're going to have to provide that type of service up here, because then it stays within the system. But that'll be decided on what's the volume that and what's the financial ability to at least break even on it to serve the patients of the community. So in that cultural thing that really stood out to us, I think I would say it tipped our board members one way. The one example we saw that was really telling was in West Branch. Mid-Michigan affiliated with West Branch about 3 years ago. And when they affiliated with West Branch no longer did OB services. Okay, they had made that decision 10 years before that. And I can tell you that OB services do not make money. They lose money. Okay. But it is a very important service for the community, because I've never been pregnant, but driving 50 miles when you're in labor probably isn't a good thing, okay? So when Mid-Michigan went into West Branch, they had a community meeting and said, hey, what services is West Branch not providing now that you'd like to see provided? And what rose to the top was OB. Now, Mid-Michigan could have said, OB, we're going to lose money on it. We don't really want to get into that anymore. But instead, they said, okay, we're going to bring back OB to West Branch. So in March of this year, they hired three OBGYNs, which is not cheap, and they reinstituted OB services at West Branch. And I think, Diane, you said last night there's 52 or 55 deliveries so far this year. That told us that Mid-Michigan was into it for the community, not for the profit, not for the bottom line. Obviously, we all need to make a margin in order to survive each year, but that was a big, big thing in our mind, and that's the culture of Mid-Michigan. Also, quality and safety. You see the awards that they have won. Some of them we've won as well, like a top 100 rural hospital in the country. And then to have University of Michigan backing that up, is even more important. And so quality and safety is a big deal for us. And then governance. Mid-Michigan understands the importance of local board of directors. So what will happen is that as I said, the county just approved a new lease that extends The lease that we have right now, the lease goes for 25 years, but MidMichigan is going to invest up to $60 million in capital projects, or actually $60 million or more over the next 10 years. And to get a return on their investment, they needed more than a 25-year lease. So they've just extended it, the county has, to another 35 years. Now, you need corporate board approval for, but the level of spending for a capital project that has to have corporate board approval by MidMichigan is $7 million. We've only done one project in our history that's over $7 million. So anything that's under $7 million, the local board approves. So governance was a big thing to keep it local. And then financial viability, we have our ups and downs. The last couple of years have been pretty good, but the 2 years before that were pretty not so good. And by MidMichigan coming in and with their credit ratings and other things, we can reduce our interest costs, we can reduce our debt. We'll have a much better ability to have a margin to reinvest in the hospital, to reinvest in our employees, and to hopefully expand services. So these are all the things that will be enhanced by our partnership. I talked about the credit rating, physician recruitment and support, education and training, marketing. There's a whole bunch of different things that will be beneficial. And obviously, the branding and reputation. MidMichigan and then their partnership with the University of Michigan and the Block M, that's a very reputable symbol, and we can't use the Block M unless we meet what's called the conditions of use from Michigan Medicine. So not going to say, well, it's just a sign outside and the care at War Memorial is of lower quality than Michigan Medicine. We wouldn't be able to use a sign if it was lower quality than Michigan Medicine. So we'll have to meet those standards. Now, I know, there's some of our physicians who graduated from Michigan State that don't want a Block M on their name tag. And they asked if they could put a green S sticker over the top of it. And Diane said that she'll just look away at that. So, but there's always that rivalry too. Those are the advantages and the benefits we're going to get. I want to introduce Diane Postler-Slattery now, who is the president and CEO of MidMichigan. Also, the big guy sitting in the back is Greg Rogers. He's the chief operating officer for MidMichigan. But Diane's going to go through her side of what was so important for them to partner with us.
Hi, thank you for attending today. And I know a lot of you know David and probably obviously don't know me at all. So I'd just like to tell you a little bit about who I am. I grew up in central Wisconsin, so don't hold that against me. But I grew up in a small town of 1,400 people. My dad was a chemistry teacher at the high school and my mom was a homemaker. And just to tell you about I think our upbringing tells a lot about who we are when we get into the workforce. Every weekend and every summer, my parents would drive, we'd go an hour, and we would then help my grandparents on their dairy farm. So all summer long, I got to hay, I got to do all those farm chores. And I would say today that my work ethic is very much, I attribute that back to growing up on the farm and helping out and working as a team. And that's and then I went on to be a nurse, so I am a nurse, and I started out my nursing career right as in intensive care and cardiac nursing. And I think that's also important because as a nurse, I have worked in the field. I know what it's like when we struggle with volumes and staffing, and I've lived that that's been part of my life. So that is my background, and I am married, and I have three grown children who are all married, and then, of course, the most important thing in my life is I have five grandchildren. So that's just a little snapshot of who I am, and I ended up in Michigan 9 years ago, and I would say similarities between central Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, and central Michigan and northern Michigan are really very remarkable. And I had been at the Aspyrus system for 26 years in Wisconsin. And if you've heard of Aspyrus, that they do, when I was part of the system, we did grow into the UP, and we had facilities in Ontonagon, Grandview, and Lorium. So I've gotten to experience in my previous job what it means to have a wide geography of services that we needed to cover. So as David said, probably the most important thing, and it probably has a lot to do with my background, but I know that was important for us when we started to talk to War Memorial, is that patients are the focus, the center of everything we do. And I can honestly tell you that at the senior leader level and at our board level, when we're making decisions about what to do, the questions we ask is, how is this going to affect the patient? How is it going to affect their family? How is it going to affect the staff, our providers? So we kind of go in that cascading order. But it is always about, what is this going to mean to patient care? Because that's what we're in the business of, is patient care. And at MidMichigan Health, we have five fundamental areas that are so critically important to us that we make sure that all of our priorities, our strategic plan, is all wrapped around these five fundamentals. And one of them is around people's experience, the patient's experience. So we have a goal that will be in the top quartile in the nation around how our patients feel about us as a health service delivery system. Meaning in the acute care setting, and David knows this well, CMS has a requirement that we have to survey our patients. And in order to meet that top quartile, our patients have to rate us a 9 or a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 around their care. You know how hard that is to get a 9 or a 10? And that's our goal. And so we work every year to make sure that we're meeting people's experiences. But we also care about how people care about us in the emergency departments, in urgent care, in home care, in our clinics. So we measure all of that. And we measure ourselves against the nation on how well we show up to delivering services. Another one of our fundamentals is quality and safety. David talked about it. It's not well before we affiliated with Michigan Medicine or U of M. We had a standard that said we wanted to be in the top quartile in the nation around quality metrics. And CMS comes out every year with things that they ask us to adhere to, and we want to be top quartile in every single one of those things. So we have a scorecard that we share with our board and our employees and our leaders every month that says, how are we doing on our quality and safety? And as part of having this black M on our name badges, we have worked with the university to agree to conditions of use. So why do we get to put the block M on? Because we collectively agreed that we would meet these quality and safety standards. And I'm pleased to tell you that we, MidMichigan Health, has actually helped raise the bar in Ann Arbor. Some of the things that we were doing, they were pretty impressed with, and they changed their processes, and now collectively all of our quality scores have gone up. So quality and safety is extremely important as one of our fundamentals. A third area is around community. And if you think about that, in most of our areas, we are the largest employer. So in a minute, I'll show you a slide of where we're all located, but we are the largest employer in most of our communities. So we need to give back. We need to be making sure that we're meeting the needs of the communities that we serve. And as David said, every community we serve is different. Alpena is not the same as West Branch, which is not the same as War Memorial, which is not the same as. So we make sure that our structure is one that we really recognize the differences in the communities that we serve. Another one of our fundamentals is engagement, which means how do our employees feel about us and how do our providers feel about us as a place to practice medicine and as a place to work. And we all know if your employees are not in a good place, the rest of the things that we do aren't going to go very well. So we work a lot on staff engagement, staff resiliency, staff morale. And we measure ourselves nationally on that. And we our goal is to be top quartile around how our employees feel about us. And then our fifth fundamental is sustainability. We need to be financially viable. So that is part of who we are. And we are very transparent with all of our employees about how we're doing financially, what do we need to do in order to make sure that we continue to be strong. So when you look at that, and that is really fundamentally who MidMichigan Health is. And as I said, we have currently, we have locations for medical centers in Midland, in Elma, in Mount Pleasant, in Clare, in Gladwin, West Branch, Alpena. And then several weeks ago, we announced a partnership. So it's a minority interest that we now have at Mackinac Straits. So we have a relationship with Mackinac Straits. They are coming into the family. And then if all of our legal documents get through the process, January 1st, War Memorial would be joining that family. And then also, we are working right now with Helen Newberry Joy on installing an electronic medical record, which is called Epic in our system. And the, you know, so if you look at the synergies between Mackinac Straits, War Memorial, and Helen Newberry Joy, it's a really nice, I call it a little triangle above the bridge that will continue to look at services in all three areas. So if you look at the map of Michigan, you know, we served 23 counties before our affiliations with Mackinac and now War, so I think we're looking at 26, 27 counties. We cover a big portion of this state of Michigan. And geography is interesting, but the virtual world has helped us out a lot with that, where we are offering a lot of care virtually. We do a lot of meetings virtually, but then we also come in person, so because that in person is very important in order to continue to build relationships. So we also have a relationship with what's called federally qualified healthcare clinics. They have to be independent. They get their funding from the federal government, and they are in a lot of areas. So if you've heard of Thunder Bay or Alcona, and I believe Thunder Bay has a site in Pickford. Yeah. Pickford. So, yeah, you can see that we pretty much have this part of the state of Michigan covered with healthcare services. You know, why were we excited about this opportunity to partner? It's we don't partner with everybody that sends out a request for proposal. We take a look at that culture. The culture has to be compatible. And surprisingly, not all health systems have similar cultures. And our culture around patient-centeredness absolutely fit with what War Memorial has stood for and is and does stand for. And they're only successful mergers and if they're focused on doing what's best for the patient. If we forget about that, then we're forgetting what our mission is and we're forgetting why we are in the businesses that we're in. And the healthcare industry is, really been transformational, especially through this last, 18, 20 months. And you're hearing some things in the state. You're hearing Beaumont and Spectrum, some of the two largest health systems in Michigan, are possibly coming together. That, you know, that talks about the fact that there is value in coming together to tackle issues. And size is important when you're looking at certain things that can give you a financial advantage or a supply chain advantage or a patient care advantage. And so what do we think we bring? David did talk a little bit about that, but really this better care for our patients. We want War Memorial to remain a very strong employer in this region. And in fact, our desire is we talk about patients transferring out that may need to go to Petoskey, or and we want to earn those referrals. We don't mandate referrals in our system, so our desire is to earn referrals so that someday people will say, oh, I want to go to Midland for that care. But our real desire is to keep as much of the care local as possible. So we're going to be doing an analysis with David and his team. What are patients leaving this area for? And we know some of those already, radiation oncology. People have to travel. So we need to assess that. What would it take to bring that service here, and what would the volumes need to be? So those are some things that we want to stop as much out migration as we can. Because it's better for you all, it's better for the system, it's better for health overall. We do also have a pretty big breadth of physician recruitment and retention, but let's be honest, right now in the United States, recruitment, retention of any staff right now is tough. It's some of the toughest times that we've ever seen around workforce shortages. But we do have a bigger breadth of and a bigger outreach for that. And then just capital reinvestment. David mentioned that, you know, we've committed at a minimum, and I'm going to stress that at a minimum, $60 million in the next 10 years. Reinvested here for whatever the local board and the leadership says are the priorities. Again, corporate doesn't come in and say, here's your priorities, this is what we're going to do. That's not the way this works. It works from the local board to the corporate board. So we are very honored to be part of this new partnership. And I do have an announcement to make today. It's official today. A press release went out. We are changing our name. You know, and part of it is because of this partnership. Mid Michigan, how does that fit for Sue, right? It doesn't. So effective today, our new name is My Michigan. My Michigan Health. And so I'll jump in for David. The number one question is, well, what does that mean for the naming of War Memorial? And it does mean the name will change. David's board and leadership had some options to take a look at, and they approved that they want to move forward. So the name here will be My Michigan Medical Center Sioux. Why don't you talk about the long-term care, though?
Yeah, we know that the Memorial was named that way because of a memorial to veterans of wars back in the early 1900s, and there's actually a memorial out front of the hospital that recognizes that. And so we know that we don't want to take War Memorial completely out of any names we have. So what we're going to do is, our long-term care facility will continue to be known as War Memorial Long-Term Care. We'll be part of My Michigan Medical Center, Sioux, but that name will stay there. And because we certainly didn't want to cause any trouble for veterans or family members of veterans who say, you know, why did you remove War Memorial? So that will still be part of our organization.
So at this time, we just wanted to leave time for questions. As community members, any time there's a change, it's always a little concerning. So we're here to answer anything that you want to ask us.
Okay, what happens if a patient does not want to go to the telemedicine? They're against it. My mom, for example.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to do it. She's older.
Yep.
She doesn't understand computers. If I'm sick, I don't care about computers.
Right.
Either. I'm sick of passwords.
Right.
So I don't know what to do with that either.
Yeah. Completely understandable. My parents are 85 and 87. Have no idea how to deal with an iPad. Not that I'm saying older people don't, because some older people are really good with their technology. But as always with teleservices, there's options for patients. So for example, the way that it works in some of our other facilities is if somebody, first of all, doesn't even have the internet or the bandwidth to be able to do virtual care, our facilities offer that. So you would just bring your mom to War Memorial and we would have a room set up, and we would do the care virtually, or we would work it out I think a lot of our providers still do come on different visits, so there still could be an in-person.
She does have that, but does a nurse sit in with them?
Yes.
I didn't know.
Yep.
Because she's the one that had it.
It's typically a physician assistant or a nurse practitioner that would actually, that would be part of that visit. Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
In talking to David a lot over the past year, one of the concerns has always been on staffing, especially now as we've been going through COVID and there's been a lot of burnout. I know staffing has been an issue there. How does MyMichigan Health now address that here locally? And I'm assuming it's the same issue that you're having down in Midland and across the rest of your system.
It is. And so we do have a system approach to staffing. So we have a system where all of the open shifts are visible, and staff from any location can pick shifts and help out. So you think, well, who's going to want to drive the 3 hours to help out up here? We do have staff that do that. And then what we worked out is housing and some things like that to help them overnight if they're going to do a couple shifts in a row. So we do have what we call kind of a system approach to helping with staffing gaps. Probably more importantly, our HR team, we have I think now we're up to 7 recruiters. So that is probably more critical, working with the schools. How do we get the staff here? A lot of times, like in Alpena or West Branch in particular, people are like, well, I don't want to go live in Alpena. We just need to get them there so they can see what the facility's like. They can see and then they're like, oh, okay, this isn't so bad. So really part of it is just getting people to take a look at a job opening. So we'll be working with David and his team. We'll also be looking at compensation to make sure we're competitive, because that right now is a big concern, where staff can leave and go be agency staff and make a lot more money. So we're looking at our staffing and our compensation packages and all of that in order to help with the staffing shortages. I do have a bit of good news on there. It was like 2 weeks ago. Nationally, they are saying, and so I'm watching to see if our local nursing programs are experiencing the same, that nursing school enrollments are up. For a while, we weren't getting even anybody in the pipeline. But given what's happening and given that nurses are seen as heroes and some other things, we're starting to see more people going back to nursing, which is critical, and respiratory therapy and PT and some of the other positions that we need. So that's encouraging, but that's going to take a little while before we get those staff. Yeah.
What do you do with medical errors? Like, if there was a medical error, if we've experienced it this summer, how do you address that?
Yeah, so we have a quite a process. Our belief is that we need to be as transparent. So if there is an error that occurs in care, you would be notified as the patient and family, and we would work through that with you on what does that mean, what, you know, is it gonna extend care? Is it something that isn't really too significant, but we still want you to know? So we have an entire process, but our belief is that we need to be as transparent as possible. We don't hide medical errors. We also monitor them, measure them, compare ourselves to other facilities on our errors. We have a system. Greg, can you remember the name of the system? Is it? I guess it's probably
our
not
variant system.
Our variant system. We actually have a variant system, RL Solutions,
yes,
that we track. We track every single error and near misses. It never happened, but it was a near miss, so we want to make sure that it doesn't ever happen as a real miss. So we are very attuned to that.
And most people don't know this because they think coming into a hospital is a very safe place, but I think it was the Institute of Medicine back in 2004 or 5 or whatever said there were 100,000 preventable deaths in U.S. hospitals that year. So we've been on a high reliability journey here at War Memorial to reduce errors and eliminate errors. And we've done a pretty good job of it. But to translate, another high reliability organization is aviation, and they've eliminated errors. But if 100,000 people would have died each year flying, that means a 747 would crash every day, killing everybody on board. And how many people would fly if that happened? Yet people walk into hospitals every day thinking they're the safest place in the world, when care is so complex that things can happen and errors can happen, and you need to analyze those and put processes in place to prevent those hard stops, to prevent those errors. And we've gone from 5 years ago, 77 serious safety events in a year, down to 13. We want to get to zero, but errors are still going to happen. And a lot of times it's not that somebody intends to make an error, it's just the process and the communication, how things get. I use the analogy, if you get a pound of Swiss cheese, there might be some point where those holes all line up and it goes all the way through the Swiss cheese. And sometimes that's what happens in healthcare. But as Diane said, we have a process to track those. We review those, we analyze them. If it's the same provider over and over again, we take remedial action against that provider. But we hope to have zero errors at some point here, because that's what we're really striving for.
So as David said, our goal that we publicly claimed is zero harm. We need to get to zero harm.
So what's the next step as far as integrating War Memorial Hospital into your system? And when will patients and people that are taking part in the services start to notice some of those changes internally within the hospital?
Well, actually, after this town hall meeting, we're going back to the hospital, and there's the leadership team from Mid-Michigan, and our leadership team will be meeting as a kickoff to the integration team. And the integration team is made up of 14 people from each side over various things, like there's a finance, there's a physician, there's a fund development, all different clinical. And those subcommittees will be co-led, one person from Mid-Michigan, one person from War Memorial. And then those leaders will then get people from their organizations to come together and meet bi-weekly to start going and finding out how we integrate. And the nice thing about Mid-Michigan is that, they don't come in and tell us that you're going to do it this way. They're going to look at what we do. And if what we do is more cost-effective and more efficient, they may change their whole system to our process. And if what they do is more cost-effective and efficient, then why wouldn't you make the decision to change to how they do it? Because it's going to be better. So those teams will meet over the next year, okay? Because it's not a process that changes tomorrow. So we're hopeful. Our goal is that within a year, we will be integrated into the systems at New Michigan. But there's still some things that will go outside that year, like the electronic health record. That might be a 2 to 3 to 4 year project before we're integrating there. So it's a mutual decision making, analyzing what's best for the community, what's best for the patients, what's best for our employees, what's best for our physicians. And that's what we really like about the Mid-Michigan approach. And all of our employees will retain their jobs, they'll retain their pay, they'll retain their benefits. That was all part of that definitive agreement. So nobody has to worry on that end. Because that was important to us. Because, if you think of it, if Mid-Michigan comes in and eliminates 10% of the jobs at War Memorial Hospital, how happy is the community going to be? And how happy is the community going to be with us, with me? Mm-hmm. Well, why'd you get into that deal? Look at all these people that just lost their job. We want it the other way. We want to, Mid-Michigan came in 2022, and a year or two later, now we have 10% more jobs, we have 10% more services, people have to travel out of the community less, and that's what our goal really is.
Yeah.
You talked about a $60 million investment in the community over the next 10 years. Have you identified any, you kind of talked a little bit about radiation oncology, but is there any other areas that you're looking at right now that you're thinking these are on the board right now that you want to look at?
Well, when we were talking about the definitive agreement and the due diligence, Diane said, "Hey, David, can you give me a list of what you think are the most important projects that we need to look at? Not that we'll do them, but I at least want to know what they are." And so you know, radiation oncology was on that list, and this is in no specific order. A new long-term care facility, a fourth OR, private rooms for all our patient rooms. There might have been one other thing on there, but what's going to happen in that process is that from a strategic planning perspective, you're going to look at those things. You're going to say, okay, what's the need? What's the community need in the future for that service? How sustainable is it from a financial perspective? And, you know, what's the market share that's going out of the community that we could bring back into the community? And if those projects check all those boxes, we'll probably get it done over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
So are War Memorial going to move to the Epic system then, and then are the rest of the centers on Epic?
Yeah, all of our other centers are on Epic currently, and I believe it wasn't that long ago that you went to Meditech.
The new Meditech. That was 2018. Yeah.
So we're going to let David and his leadership team make that decision when they want to transition. But eventually, yes, we'd all be on Epic, and University of Michigan is also on Epic. So that means records.
Epic is just the electronic health record. So like when you come in and you have tests done, you have services done, you go to the physician office, it's all in your health record. And Epic is a health record where, like right now, sometimes when there's a patient in the emergency room that had a CT scan and we know we have to ship them out for care, you know, you have to copy a disc or you have to send all the paperwork with the ambulance to the other organization. With Epic, it flows right through the whole system. So we don't have to send anything. The physicians at University of Michigan can look everything up mm-hmm. about the patient in the health record they have here. So they'll get to know everything about it. And truly, when the electronic health record was implemented as a federal mandate back, I don't know, has it been 10 years now or whatever, system was supposed to work that wherever you went in the country, they would have your health records if you had an emergency or needed care. That still hasn't worked because everybody's on different systems and they don't talk to each other. But in this system, that's what we're trying to get to. The Epic system, you can, you know, flow through. If they go to Midland, they'll have it. If they go to Ann Arbor, maybe somebody wants to go to Alpena or West Branch. They'll be able to access that record through the Epic system.
Is there compensation equity between all the different units?
As far as pay?
Pay?
Yeah.
Yeah, my answer is yes. As a system, we try to make sure there are sometimes some geographic exceptions. So, for example, the market in Midland might be a little higher than it is in Alpena. So we take all of that into consideration. We also have a couple union contracts, so we have to honor our union contracts, and we work with our unions to make those changes. When David says, and I just want to clarify, when David says that employees here will keep their pay and their benefits, there might be changes to their benefits, but the overall employee will be made whole. So if you hear, well, they're changing my benefits now, yes, but what they might not tell you is, but I got this adjustment to make up for the difference, if there is a difference. This next whole year, we'll be spending time looking at making that transition to make sure employees are not penalized in any way because of this new relationship. Because there's some things that you have here that are very...
We have some better benefits than what Mid-Michigan has.
Yeah.
For example, our health insurance.
Yeah.
Okay, our health insurance, we both have high deductible plans, which pretty much everybody in the country has. But we don't require any premium from the employee. They require a premium from the employee.
So our employees pay a little bit.
A little bit towards their health insurance, plus have a high deductible. So what we would do, and I don't know what the exact amount is, but it's easier to say it's $100, okay? Let's say it's $100 a pay period that each employee has to pay for their health insurance. Then we would give them a $100 increase in their pay to offset the $100 they're being taken out. So their take-home pay at the end of the day is still the same. Because somebody might say that, hey, I changed my benefits, but you can rest assured that it might have changed, but you're getting more compensation so that you're able to cover those costs.
So there's a corporate HR department that will be overseeing once the affiliation's complete. War Memorial along with everything else.
Right, but as part of that, there's also what we call boots on the ground, so there will be HR staff here. Otherwise, either it's just employees need to have that HR connection. We need that person to be physically in our facility. So there is HR personnel here.
Other questions?
What about now you're doing this, and obviously you're going through this, we're moving a little bit towards Helen Everjoy. Is now My Michigan Health, have you kind of set as far as your expansion? Are you still in negotiation with other facilities to maybe grow further? Or?
We don't have any active discussions going on as we speak, but part of our strategy as My Michigan Health is to look at where we think that there could be benefit for both parties. So we do have some other facilities that have expressed an interest, but we haven't started dialogue with anybody else.
Yeah, because you know, in our RFP and negotiations, you know, we asked each of the health systems, you know, what's your vision on like an Eastern UP health system, you know, hub, whatever. And the reason for that is how do we, partner with the St. Ignace's and the Newberry's, and who knows, eventually maybe a Manistique or a Munising or whatever. And right now, all the care stays in the local communities, and it will in the future. But there are secondary level of cares that aren't provided in St. Ignace and aren't provided in Newberry that are provided at War Memorial, like orthopedics, like general surgery, like urology, okay? And right now we know that a lot of people from Mackinac County who need those higher level of care go to Petoskey. And a lot of people from Newberry that need the higher level of care go to Marquette. Well, if we're part of the same system, we're gonna wanna keep the care within the same system. So those patients, hopefully, from St. Ignace and Newberry will start coming to Sault Ste. Marie instead of going to Petoskey and Newberry now, or to Petoskey and Marquette. Now, I'm sure McLaren and Petoskey and UP Health System Marquette aren't going to be happy with that because they'll lose market share. But that's going to be best for the Eastern UP and to keep the care in the Eastern UP. So if you looked at the Divine strategy, you know, if at some point there would be the whole, you know, Central to Eastern UP, all part of Mid-Michigan Health, that would be great for WAR, because WAR is by far the largest hospital of those other hospitals, and we offer the higher-end specialty services, and hopefully we'll even offer more higher-end specialty services with the Mid-Michigan partnership. Any other questions? All right, well, thank you for coming
so
today.
Much.
We appreciate you attending and hearing this information. Thank you.
Thank you.